All right, so today we're on Daf Tet, okay? Everybody ready? Daf Tet, I'm an Aleph and Shkalim. So the top line, not the top line, four lines down. Kamahu shir shel kos. So the Gemara is talking about the shir, the size of a kos with a revius. How revius is revius halog. It got into a tangent that with this whole discussion. It's nothing to do with Shkalim. So Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi, Rabbi Yossi bar Bibi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, etzbayim al etzbayim al rum etzba umechso shlish etzba. So the size of a revius is 2 finger breaths. By 2 finger breaths, in other words, like 2 finger breaths by 2 finger breaths, then 1 and 5/6 finger breaths going up. Now it says etzba b'chat mechza, 1 finger and mechza, which would be like 3/6, and then shlish etzba, which would be another 2/6. So 5/6 all together. So the only thing is with this shear is that we learned the Gemara earlier in Arvei Psachim. There, the shear the Gemara gave with 2 finger breadths by 2 finger breadths by 2.7 finger breadths. So it's a stira between our Gemara and the Gemara in Psachim. I don't know how to reconcile the two Gemaras, but that's clearly a stira into the terms of the shear. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. We're on line 5 or 6 on Tetam and Aleph, Shkalim 9. Okay, Robert, that's for you. Okay, so the Gemara, we're near the parentheses. So Tani, Yavesh Kesai Divrei Rabbi Natan. So we are talking about the shear. It's nothing again to do with Shkalim, but to do with Hotzan Shabbat. The shear for carrying, we said for carrying anything has to be like a significant portion or a usable portion. So the Gemara says that, let's say I have wine that's dried up. So it's like no liquid. It's just all dried up. So Yavesh Kezayit Dibri Rav Natan. Rav Natan says if it's the shear of a Kezayit, in other words, a liquid revius would equal a kezias, I guess, dried up. So that would be the shear to be chai for otzah. Rabbanan de Kesari, Rabbi Yossi Barbibi, Rabbi Shmuel, Atid Rabbi Natan, Kreb Shimon, he says that this halacha of Rabbi Natan, who's a Tana, follows the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Shimon. Kamad Rabbi Shimon Amar, but Raviyat, just like Rabbi Shimon says, the shear for otzah on Shabbat is Raviyat, a quarter of a log, he says, Kena Amar, Rav Natan, B'Raviyat, L'Chshe Yikrash, V'Yehebo Kezayit. So Rav Natan says, a Raviyat, when it dries out, is a Kezayit, and that's the same shear that you'd be chai for Hotsan Shabbat. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, I'm moving on. All right. Now, Rabbi Simon, B'Shem Rabbi Shuban Levi, Masab appeared at Rabbi Shemeta. He says there was an incident with the mule. Rabbi's mule died. And the only connection with this Gemara is getting into like Shiurim, like with the blood and things like that. But otherwise, and it's far afield from Shkalim. So he says, Masab appeared at Rabbi Shemeta. There was an incident with Rabbi's mule died. B'tiaru et damam yishum nevela. And they said the blood, now a dead animal is tame. A dead animal is tumas nevela, if it's a four-legged animal. But the tuma is only for the flesh and the meaty part. The hooves, the bones, they don't transmit tuma. What about the blood? So that's the question. So Rebbe's mule died, and v'tiaru et damam yishum nevela. They said the blood is not going to transmit tuma. We don't know exactly what this means. V'sha'al Reb Lazar, Rabbi Simon, ad kama. So the question is, did they mean that blood will never transmit tuma, or that up until a certain shear won't transmit tuma? When you get the shear, will transmit tuma. So that's what Reb Lazar asked Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon was the Baal Memra. He said the name of Rabbi Shuban Levi. He told this whole story. So v'lo ashkach bay, he says, so Rabbi Simon, like, he didn't pay attention to him. He didn't answer the question. V'sha'al Rabbi Shuban Levi. So then he asked Rabbi Shuban Levi. Rabbi Simon had quoted Rabbi Shuban Levi. V'amar lei, ad Raviyat Tahor, Yotir Raviyat Tameh. He said that up until Raviyat, it's Tahor. In other words, less than Raviyat doesn't give Tuma. More than Raviyat, Dove gives Tuma. But the key, the Shear is a Raviyat. Okay, Ubash the Reb Lazar, Adlo Chazar Le, Reb Simon Shmua Toa. And then he was upset with Reb Simon, who didn't really respond to him. Now, the Gemara doesn't explain why Reb Simon didn't respond to him, but we're going to have a similar story with a different Chacham. Perhaps one could extrapolate from there to here. The Gemara says, Rabibi habiyatev matni hadein uvda. Rabibi was sitting and teaching over this whole halacha, this whole incident. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak bar Bisna, ad Raviyat tahor yoter mikan tameh. So he asked them the same question. when they said that the blood from the Pirda of Rebbe is Tahor, did they mean up until Rebbe is Tahor more than Rebbe is Tameh? Or do they mean it's no tumor whatsoever? What do they mean? He says, Ubat be, like he spurned him, like Bat means kicked him. He didn't respond to the question. It says, Amarle Rebbe Zrika. So Rebbe Zrika said to, So Rebbe Zrika said to Rabibi, Rebbe Zrika said, begin to shalach at Batbe, because he asked you a question, you're spurning him, why don't you answer the question? So Amarle, begin to lohabadaiti be baitnabe. In other words, I didn't have my senses with me, that's why I didn't answer the question. He says, the Amar Rabbi Chanan, in other words, this is talking about in the Tochacha. At the end of Sefer Devarim, it tells you all these terrible things that will happen if you don't follow the mitzvot. So it says, that your life will be suspended, will hang in the balance. In other words, if you buy chitim once a year, you buy your grain once a year. So the you worry constantly you may not have enough money to make the purchase next year. It means that, like, I have that tsara. He says, Upachat halayla biyomam, you'll be afraid day and night. So lokech minas sidki, that's when you buy from a merchant, but you buy it in small quantities. He says, velo tamin bechayecha, and you he says, you won't be sure of your life. He says, Elokech min apaltor, if you buy every day from the baker, in other words, like, you're living on a short leash in life, and every day you have to buy like some bread in order to sustain yourself. So he says, Va'ana samichna apaltor. And that's my situation. I'm relying on, like, you know, I gotta get enough food money each day to give to the baker, so I have food to eat that day. So I wasn't in, like, I didn't have the yish of das, like, to respond properly to the question. So the issue is that the mule of Rebbe died, and we're trying to figure out what the Shia, when they said they were metahir the blood, do they mean the blood does not transmit tumah at all? Or do they mean that the blood is only up to Revius doesn't transmit tumah, but then afterwards it does? So the Gemara says, Umau kidon. So what's the halakha in this case, as the Gemara says? So Heid Rebbe Yeshua ben Petora al dam nevela shuhu tahor. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that hey, Rabbi Shum ben Torah, al dam nevela shu tahor. That Rabbi Shum ben Torah said that the dam of a nevela is tahor. So we think totally tahor. So the Gemara says mahu tahor milahachshir avolatamot metame. Says no. That could mean that it's just tahor, it can't be a machshir. We said, like, in order for food to be mekabel tumah, has to have one of the seven beverages, quote-unquote, go on it first to do mekabel tumah. So it could say the blood that's in an avela, blood is one of the seven machshirim, but it's only when the blood is, like, freshly off the executed animal. But the blood in the avela that hangs around, that's not one of the machshirim, but it could be that it's tameh. So we don't have an answer yet. So the Gemara says, Taman Taninan, over there we learn in the Mishnah. Now this, the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah from Masechet Machshirin. Taman Taninan, Dama Sheretz Kibisaro, that the blood of a Sheretz, which is a creepy crawling creature, is like its flesh. Mitame Ve'eno Machshir, that it's Mitame, it transmits Tuma, but it can't be one of the Machshirim. He says, Ve'ein Lano Kiyotze Bo. He says, and we have nothing else that's like that. Nothing else that's like it. Now, from the fact that he says there's nothing else that's like it, in other words, we thought the pshat in the Mishnah said that the blood of a nevela is tahor. So our answers are all resolved. There's no tuma. So the Gemara says, no. The pshat could mean that it's tahor, that it's not one of the machshirim, but it could be that it transmits tuma. So then the Gemara quotes this Mishnah from Masechet Machshirin, and it says the blood of a sheretz, is kibisaro, it's metame beino machshir, that it gives tuma, but it's not a machshir. And he says ve'ein lano kiyotzebo, we have nothing else that's similar to it. So no other situation we think would it be tame and not serve as a machshir. So if that's the case, if that's the only case like that, so when it says tahor by the nevela, it means totally tahor from everything. In other words, the only time that we mix and match you know, the inability to be machshir and nevertheless have the ability to be ketuma, we think is by the blood of a sheretz. Otherwise, so we have the other mishnah that says the blood of a nevelis tower means totally tower. That's what we think. So the Gemara says kishir tumato. So the Gemara says no. When it says there's nothing else like the sheretz, it's referring to the shear for tuma. The shear for a sheretz is an adasha, like a lentil. That's what it means. Nothing else is like it. So he says, aval damo mitame kibisaro. But in terms of the nevela, the dam could be mitame like the basar. The dam of nevela could give tuma like the basar. So we could explain the previous mishnah that when it says that dam nevela is tahor, just means the blood is not one of the machshirim. But indeed, the blood can transmit tuma if it's revius. That's the working shot that we have so far. Let me just do a few more lines, and then I will pause. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, everybody with me, we're around 20 lines from the bottom of the column. Okay, then I'll pause in just a minute or two. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, pli ba trein amorayin. So Rabbi Yossi says, the machlok between amorayin, chad amar tame v'chad amar tahor. We're coming again to this din by the blood of a nevela. So one says the blood of nevela is tame when it's more than revius, it does transmit tuma, and the other says it's tahor. Mandamar tame k'Rabbi Yehuda. So the mara that says that it's tame, that it's tame, is following the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda is in a different Masechta. He's in Masechta Duyot. And it says that Beit Hillel says the blood of a nevela is tame. So he's saying, and that's Rabbi Yehuda's statement. So the one who holds tame, that's like Rabbi Yehuda. Uman damar tahor, Rabbi Yehuda ben Torah. The one who's the Amara that says the blood of a nevela is tahor, that's following Rabbi Yehuda ben Torah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Torah, we had quoted just above. And he's the one who said that, you know, dam nevela is tahor, totally tahor. All right, now let me just a few more lines and that'll be it. One second. All right, let's go further. You know, we're skipping the parentheses. Amarle Rav Abduma de Minahuta V'ya'ut. He says, correct, the Rabbi Yehuda considers the blood Tami is more than Revius. The Rabbi Yehuda, more Yana de Benasiyahava. Rabbi Yehuda was like the halakhic authority for the house of the Nasi. So, like, means like Rebbe's household. And the mule died, they declared the blood Tahor. And so Rabbi Shubba Levi says it means like when it's less than revius of blood, but Rabbi Yehuda must have ruled that way because that he was the posek for Rabbi's household. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll move on. Okay, so this was a sort of a tangential topic. We started off with the shear for revius, and the Gemara gave the shear with the fingers for the revius. Then the Gemara moved to like a slightly different topic. It had to do with the blood of a nevela. Does it transmit tuma? So we ended up saying that the blood of a nevela is not one of the machshirim. It can't be machshir. And in terms of its tuma, so one opinion is that if it's more than a revius, it does give tuma. The other opinion is if it's more than a revius, it does not give tuma. Now, the idea is, again, with a nevela, you have a carcass of an animal, it gives tuma, but only like the flesh, the meat, that gives tuma. The bones, the hooves don't give tuma. Where does the blood fit in? So there's machloket about that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
The English word for machshir.
Machshir is something like get something. It means if I have food, let's say I have an apple. In order for the apple to be mekabel tuma, to be susceptible to tuma, one of the seven fluids has to go on it. The seven fluids are called machshirim. Machshir means it like paves the way. It's like makes it susceptible to tuma. So that's what that's called machshir. That's the best I got. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? You good, Robert? You good? Everybody good? Okay, let's go on. All right. All right, now we're back to our Masechta here now. Shemi Ani V'yomer V'chulei. So we said that that a person, when he goes into the Lishka to withdraw the money, the Machsir Shekel, the Kohen who goes in, he shouldn't have any folds in his garment. He shouldn't have anywhere where he could, you know, hide money. Because and it has to be apparent to people that there's nowhere where he can hide money. It's because maybe he'll become impoverished and people say he became impoverished because he stole money, or he'll become wealthy and people say he became wealthy because he stole the money. So Shemi Yani V'yomer V'chulei. So Tani Rabbi Shmuel Kavatz Lo Yitrom Bnei HaChashad. So the way some of Farshim say kavatz is like related, there's a line in Anam Zmi wrote, kvutzo tav tal talim shchorot, like his hair is like with like black waves or locks. So kavatz, one way to understand kavatz is a person with long hair shouldn't be take the truma because we're afraid that he'll hide the money in the hair, or people might think that he's hiding the money in the hair. Now, there's a different shot to say, and we'll see in a minute, that kavatz might mean like a poor person might be like a kavatz, and you know, so we don't want him to take it. The we'll see in a minute. We'll see in a minute with this. 1 second. He has a piece here. A very poor person, desperate for money, because people will suspect him of stealing. So that would be a different shot. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. And then that was from Rabbi Zev Dickstein on his Al Adaf. We'll see in a minute. So, okay. Tani Hagizbar Mi Mapaspsin Bekilkin, that the treasures for the Beis HaMikdash would separate out like the wool threads of the garment of the person who had withdrawn the money from the Azara, make sure there's no money in the garment. Tani Midabrima Yuimo Mishasha Niklas Achashu Yotse. So that in addition to which they would keep him engaged in conversation from the time he went to the time he left, out of a concern that maybe he's sticking money in his mouth and like trying to get the money out of the Beis HaMikdash that way. He says, "Vimale puemoi." So the Gemara says, why can't they fill his mouth with water? And then he obviously will figure that, you know, he can't stick the coins in there. So the Gemara says, "Amrav tanchuma mabnei habracha." So this is because of bracha that he has to make a bracha when he withdraws the coins. He's got like lahafrish truma. In other words, like when you separate truma, you make a bracha. When you take the coins out, you also have to make a bracha. He says, Rib Shmuel Bar Nachman B'shem Rib Yonatan B'tor Neviim Uktuvim Matzano Shtam Tzirich Laseit Yidei Abriot K'derech Shu Tzirich Laseit Yidei Makom. In the Torah, the Neviim, the prophets, and the Ktuvim is the hagiographer, we see that a person has to be innocent in God's eyes and innocent in people's eyes, both of them. He says, "Batorah minayin dechtiv yitem nikiyim Hashem Yisrael." So in the Torah, it says that Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, if you go across and you fight on the West Bank, so you'll be, you know, innocent in God's eyes and in people's eyes. In other words, you, everybody will know you did the right thing. He says, "Benevim minayin dechtiv kelelokim Hashem v'gomer v'Yisrael hu yedo." So this is talking about an incident in Sefer Yehoshua when, again, it also relates to like the 2.5 tribes. So they built a Mizbeach on their side of the Jordan, and the people on the West Bank saw the Mizbeach and they thought it was something about Avodah Zarah, or the breaking away or something like that. So they sent a delegation over to speak to them, and they said no. They said, you know, God knows, V'Yisrael hu yeda. Now the Jewish people also know. So that's a siman also. You have to be innocent in God's eyes and in people's eyes. And then B'ketuvim minayin, we're knowing the hagiographer, D'chtiv, U'mesachin v'seichel tov b'nei Elokim v'yadam. You should find like grace and understanding in God's eyes and in people's eyes. So the Gemara says, Gamliel Zuga Sha'alu Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Bun Ezehu Amachuvar Shebekulan. He asks, which is the clearest pasuk for proof of that purpose? So Amalei B'Tem Nekim Hashem Yisrael. You'll be innocent from God and from Israel. And you know, I said over Yantiv, like, you know, some people think, what do I care what people think? In other words, Ribbono Shalom knows I did honestly. If people think otherwise, I don't care. But you see, in the Torah, a person has to comport himself that his actions are clear, that nobody suspects him. In other words, he should conduct himself in a fashion that people don't suspect him of wrongdoing. Now, he says the clearest pasuk. So we said, which is the clearest pasuk? So Amar Lei, Vitem Nikim Yishem Yisrael. The pasuk in the Chumash is the clearest pasuk. That's mafurash, that you should be innocent in God's eyes and the people's eyes. The other pasukim, like with Yahushua, with the breakaway Shvatim, there's an unusual circumstance, like they thought, I don't know, they're doing a Avodah Zarah or something, and then this thing in Mesachin V'Seichel Tov, B'nei Elokim Yadam, they said, the simple shot, it's just referring, he says, to the effects of Torah observance, that if you observe the Torah, it'll be that way. It doesn't say mafurish, you know, acting that way. All right, that's what the art school had. Let me just do a little piece from the Al Adaf, and then I'll pause, and we'll summarize, and we'll take some questions, okay? So, So we said in the Gemara that a kavatz lo yitrom, that we said the simple pshat was a person with long hair shouldn't withdraw the machzir to shekel. So Rabbi Shmuel adds the thing. So he says the Ravid explains that we don't want people to suspect the business representative of concealing coins in his hair. That's one shot. And the Rambam interprets kavatz differently than the Ravid. He says kavatz or kuf beit vav tzadi, kavatz refers to a very poor person who is desperate for money. Such a person should not be appointed because people like to suspect him of stealing. Okay, then the Gemara says that they engage him in speech so that he can't stick money in his mouth. So the Gemara says, why doesn't he put water in his mouth? So the Gemara answers, this idea is not feasible because he must recite a bracha. The Yafei Mare indicates that we are concerned he might mistakenly swallow some water without reciting a bracha. So he's learning the pshat is that if we fill his mouth with water, he might end up swallowing the water without making a bracha. So Chamsfi raises two questions. Before filling his mouth with water, we could have him recite Shlokoni Varo over another drink, and then this would exempt him from reciting a bracha. If that's the problem, he can make a shot call on some other water. And the Gemara says that when water requires a bracha, only I'm drinking it to quench my thirst. But if I'm drinking it to clear my throat, then it doesn't require a bracha. So the fact that he might swallow some water, you know, doesn't mean that he requires a bracha. So the Chacham Tzvi therefore opts for another pshat. He says the act of Truman Alishka, separating the shkalim, requires a bracha because it's a mitzvah and you have to make a shrek shanu lahafrish trumim and alishka. We cannot ask for reason to fill his mouth with water because he must recite a bracha and informs his commission act of Truman's addition. Now, in terms of making the bracha, so the Arts had a blurb. They said that in addition, I mean, obviously to make the bracha, you can't have your mouth filled with water, can't make the bracha. But in addition to which, there's a halacha that your mouth should be empty of anything, you know, like you know, when you make a bracha. In other words, I shouldn't have anything in my mouth when I make a bracha. That the mouth should be totally, you know, devoted to the bracha. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody,
I think it's the Chassam Sofer wrote in the Al-Tayr that he always, this always bothered him terribly.
Right.
Moshe Rabbeinu had the same issue because he had a big neck. They were saying in the
Right, I think it's a tshuva from the Chasam Sofer.
Yeah.
He says this is one of the most difficult things. You're right. He says something like about the thing, like you said, the yoke, the harness, whatever. He said one of the most difficult things to really like be innocent in other people's eyes. And
it's much easier to be innocent in that fashion than the eyes of people.
Yeah. How would they determine or choose the person who was going to bring the shekalim in?
In other words, there's a chamber in the base of Mikdash. He's taking the money out of the chamber, and so we want to make sure he's on innocent. I don't know.
Couldn't they just like pick the most, you know, pious man in the world?
I'm sure they were all pious, but the point of the Gemara is that even though everybody's honest, we make him conduct himself in a way that wouldn't give rise to suspicions. So even though everybody's honest. Like we say, you can't go in with garments with hems. You shouldn't go with tefillin. You shouldn't go in with kameya because you can put the money in the tefillin or in the amulet. You shouldn't do anything, and you fill your mouth with water. So in other words, we want to do everything to make sure. Even if he's the most honest person, we don't want him. We still have to do all these, you know, precautions.
Wouldn't people who were suspicious, based on that, assuming the person was a pure person, wouldn't they be guilty of lashon hara? Aren't they thinking somebody without justification?
It could be that the person would be over Aveira. I mean, for right now, we're just talking about what they're going to think, not what they're going to say. But the thing is that we don't want the Torah, the admonition from the Torah is you should conduct yourself in a way that people think that you're not keen. In other words, that's what we want. In other words, we want to comport ourselves in a way that does not give rise to suspicion from other people. All right? All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
This is the whole concept of Marisayan.
There are two ideas. One is Chashad. One is Marisayan. But you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right. I'm going on to the next mission now. Everybody ready? Okay. So we're on Ted Amud Aleph, around eight lines from the bottom. Okay. Halacha Gimel Manitin Shabbat Raman Gamliel Haya Nichtas V'Shiklo Beinis V'Tav V'Zarkul V'Nei Torim V'Torim Midkavim V'Dakbol V'Tocha Kupa. So the house of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was an Asi, so from his household, either a member of the household or a shliach from the household would go with the Machzir HaShekel right as the fellow was withdrawing the Machzir HaShekel, put the coin in such a fashion that that would be one of the coins that the person would withdraw. They knew that their coin was going to be withdrawn with withdrawal. He says, in a term Torim Achu Omer Lehem Etrom, so the person doesn't like withdraw the coins till he says to the administrators, Etrom, is it okay for me to withdraw? Behein Omrim Lo Trom 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 Shlosh Pamim. They say, yeah, withdraw. They say three times. You see it a lot in Halacha where they do it like three times. It's like on Simchas Torah where you name the Chasen Torah, the Chasen Precious, we say Amod, Amod, Amod three times. It's like because like the Rav has a piece. It's like a minui. It's like an appointment to a position to be a Chasen Torah, Chasen Precious. He says, Tarama Rishona B'chipa B'katabliot. Now the way there's different ways to learn this Mishnah. But the way that the I think the Bar Tanura learns is like the first time when he withdraws. In other words, there's this chamber and it has all the Machzir HaShekel been delivered. Apparently, they had more Machzir HaShekel than they needed for the Korban Ot Tzibur. So some of the Machzir HaShekel are not going to be used. So and money keeps coming in as the year progresses. So when the first time he goes in to withdraw money, and we said how much he withdraws these three boxes with the cash, but he's leaving other money behind. So he covers the other money left behind with a leather mat. Hashnia b'chipa katabliot. The second time he withdraws the money, he also covers it with a leather mat. Hashlishi lo yamachape. The third time, the final withdrawal, he didn't cover it over. V'lama yamachape. Why did he cover it over with this mat? He says shem yishkach v'yitrom min ha-davar ha-tarum. Because in other words, he wants to take the Machzir HaShekel from the new money that comes in, not from the old money. In other words, let's say there's 10,000 Machzir HaShekel. He only needs 5,000 of them. So once he takes those 5,000, so those are the ones with the Kedusha. And according to one Tan in the Mishnah, the others like lose their Kedusha. It's a little bit like, it's like when you take, you know, maybe Maaser or Truma. In other words, everybody's Yotzei, but not everybody's coin gets used. So he wants to use the new money, the money that's coming in now. Taramid Rishona L'shem Eretz Yisrael. So the first withdrawal, he would say, this money I'm taking, L'shem Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to say, and on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. In other words, this money is on behalf of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. That was the money that, from the first withdrawal, is the money that arrived more timely. That was the money in Eretz Yisrael. V'ashniya L'shem Krachim U'Kafin Lo. The second withdrawal, he's doing it like the shame on account of the cities like nearby, like surrounding Eretz Yisrael, the region surrounding Eretz Yisrael. Vashlishi l'shem Babel, l'shem Adai, l'shem turn page, midinod harechokot. The last one is for Babel, Babylonia, and the other places that are further away. Okay, so we'll see as we get into the Gemara a little bit more, but that's the Mishnah. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? Okay, I'm going on. Okay, so the top line on Tenement Bays, Shabbat Rabbi Gamliel B'chulei. So we said the household of Rabbi Gamliel, either a member of the household or the shliach would go with the Machzir HaShekel right before the person withdraws the money to make sure that their Machzir HaShekel got used. So the Gemara says, Ilu Hayushnei Kerim. Let's say a person had two piles of tavua of grain, B'tarami Echad Mehin Al Chaveiro, and he takes off. Truma, in other words, he's got two piles of grain. He takes off a portion of pile A to cover Trumas Maisers for both the piles. He says, Shemelo Patar Chaveiro. So would you say the other one is not exempt? In other words, everything's exempt because now it's been removed on behalf of both piles. So the case being that if you gave your Machzir HaShekel, even though some of the Shekelim are getting used, the others aren't getting used, but you, that's it. You're Yotzei the mitzvah. So why do they go to such great lengths to make sure that their coin was one of the coins that was withdrawn? So the Gemara says, Hanachat ruach ilahem shlohei korban mekarev elam mishlan tchila. It gave them like nachas ruach that their money was being used for korbanot. In Achinami, they conceded their yotzei the mitzvah, but they had nachas ruach that their money was being used for the korbanot tzibur. All right. Now, Tani, we learned in Braisa, the Braisa was taught, Shemarada katav liot, Nasu Kulan Shirayim. So this is, let's say he the leather covers were accidentally removed. And now, in other words, it's like an ongoing process where new coins keep coming in. So some of the coins I took the Machzor shekel for, and I took it on behalf of all the coins that were there at that time on the calendar date. Then I covered it with a leather mat. The new coins are supposed to go on top of the leather mat, and then those are the new coins. But if I accidentally removed that leather mat, now I don't know which are the new coins, which are the old coins. So he says, Kulan Shirayim. So I treat them all as Shirayim, as the remnant of Machzor Shekel. We'll see in the Mishnah coming up, the remnant was used for, you know, upkeep of Yerushalayim and other things else. So Tana Prona Brisa, Shlishit Hi Haita Shirah Sheba Kulan. He says the third set of contributions. In other words, the contributions are coming in from further and further locations. So the third contribution was the wealthiest one in terms of the coins, Shuba Istaria Ocho Zahub, Darkan Ocho Zahub. They had golden coins. You had a Mishnah earlier in the Masechta that said that we take the Maaser Shekel and convert it into golden coins, like to transport it to Eretz Yisrael. So they had like all these golden coins there. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts, anything so far? Very good. Okay, let me move on. Okay, the sixth line. Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Taramad Rishon L'Shem Eretz Yisrael, L'Shem Kol Yisrael. So the first withdrawal, he says, this is for like the people in Eretz Yisrael and for all of the Jewish people. In other words, it's the money from the donors were from Eretz Yisrael, but it's on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Then he says, Shnia L'Shem Krachim Amu Kafim L'Shem Kol Yisrael. The second ones are from like the regions near Eretz Israel and on behalf of the entire Jewish people. The third one is for Media, Babylonia, and the other, you know, countries even further away from Eretz Israel and on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. In other words, each one he's saying is on behalf of Klal Yisrael, but he's mentioning like where the money's coming from. All right. Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Natalman Arishona, Afapishish Barishona, Natalman Hashniya. Now, we said when he makes the withdrawal, he withdraws each time, he withdraws three boxes. Do you remember? So each box had three saw of coins in it. And a saw, we said, was like 4 gallons worth. So three saw is like 12 gallons. So he's got three boxes, each like three 12-gallon boxes of coins. And we said they marked Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. So the Gemara says, Natal min harishona, afapishish barishona, no tal min hashniya. In other words, before he finishes box A, he starts using box B. He says, Natal min hashniya, afapishish barishniya, no tal min hashlishit. And then before he finishes box B, he starts using box C. He says, Shalma shlishit, if box C then is totally exhausted, Choser l'shnia. Then he goes to the second box. Shalma shnia, the second box is totally used up. Choser l'rishona. Then he goes back to the first box. He says, Shalmu shlashtan, if all three are totally exhausted, he says, Choser v'shokel. Then he goes back and he withdraws more money, even though it's not one of the times to withdraw money. He withdraw more money from the lishka. Remeir omer, Choser l'shirayim. The Remeir says, one minute. Yeah, he takes from the Shirayim. In other words, So in other words, the Tanakhama is saying, I'm going to take from the new money that's come in since the last withdrawal. Ramirez says, I could take from the old money. In other words, there was a pile of money, and then I put that leather mat on it. And so on top of the leather mat, I have new coins that are coming in. Below the leather mat is the old money. So Remeir says even the old money retains its original level of Kedusha. The Tanakhama holds that once I would make that withdrawal, that money goes down in Kedusha. It's not dedicated anymore for the Korbanot Tzibur. It's going to be used for more mundane things, but still you know, necessary things for the Tzibur. But Remeir holds, no, it retains its Kedusha and I could take it from there. She'er Remeir Omer, Mo'olim B'Shirayim. The Remeir says that if you misuse the money, that's an act of Me'ila, Shema Yitzarachu Lehen B'Sof, because you might need it at the end. So that's the way that goes. Okay, now, the reason he's taking from box A, box B, and box C, remember we had a Pasuk that we had quoted the other day from Nehemiah, and says that that's the way to do it, to always take it in three boxes. And Mamela, you have to make sure you use all three boxes. So there's a concern, if I just, you know, you wait till I finish A and B, I may never get to C. So we want to make sure that you use from all three boxes. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything that I've done so far?
Can you go over that order one more time, please, again?
Okay, with the last part with the order, with the three boxes?
The whole thing, three boxes.
Yeah. So let me say it outside. So he goes in to Lishka, and he withdraws three boxes that are filled. Each box is three sa'a, three boxes, each one with three sa'a of machzer shekel. So now he's got the three boxes. One box is Aleph, one is Beis, and one is Gimel. So the Gemara is saying he starts using Aleph, but before he completes Aleph, he goes to Beis. Then he starts using Beis. In other words, he's using the money as he needs it for the Korban al Tzibur. And he only needs it for 4 months. Then he continues Beis. Then before he finishes Beis, he goes to Gimel. Then he starts using Gimel. Then if he needs it, he'll finish Gimel. Then if he needs more, he'll finish Beis. Then if he needs more, he'll finish Aleph. If he finishes all three and he needs more, then he can make another withdrawal from the Lishka. So the Tana Kama holds that the later withdrawal should be from new money that came in since the last withdrawal. Remeir holds, no, you could take from the old money. The old money still has the same level of Kedusha. Tana Kama holds the old money doesn't have the same level of Kedusha. In other words, the Tana Kama is a little more easier to understand with the earlier Gemara we did. In other words, once I make the withdrawal, so the other money, the money is originally designated for the Korban al Tzibur on behalf of everyone. But once I make that withdrawal, the rest of the money now becomes, according to the Tana Kama, Shiare Machzer Shekel, like the remnant from it. So it has a lesser level of Kedusha and can be used for other things. Meir holds, no, it still retains its original level of Kedusha. And Mela, he could take from some of the old money and use it for the Korban al Tzibur. All right? Everybody good? All right.
It's an expression in English, old money.
All right. Okay. All right.
Why would he take money from the second basket if there was still money in the first basket?
That's what I was saying. We learned this one over the Yantiv with the Daf, with the Gemara quoted a Pasuk from Nehemiah, and it said, Shlishi, Nehemiah said that they have to be withdrawn in three boxes. So based on that, I don't know why it has to be in three boxes, but that's the way the Pasuk says in Nehemiah, three boxes.
So in other words...
Wait. We want to make sure he uses each one of the three boxes.
Right.
So if he uses one and then he could use two, he may never get to three. So he's right. He wants to go, and then come back, okay?
Got it.
All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. Now the Gemara mentioned how Rabbi Gamliel's household was so punctilious to try to make sure that their Machzer Shekel was used. And we mentioned also about being so careful that people shouldn't suspect you of doing wrong when you go and take the Truma Salishka. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. This is a famous Braisa. I'll tell you in a minute why it's famous, but it's quoted in Avodah Zarah as well. This Braisa is the cornerstone. This is a famous Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. I'm sure you've all heard. By Moshe Chaim Lutzato, Path of the Righteous, Mesilat Yesharim. So it was a Musar work. It's like the prototypical example of a Musar work. It was composed in the 18th century, and the whole Sefer is built on this Braisa. In other words, this Braisa he uses as his springboard for the entire Sefer. So let's take a look. B'cheinaya Repinchas ben Yair Omer, Zrizut Mevi'a Lidei Nekiut. Zrizut is like zealousness, and mitzvot brings you Lidei Nekiut. Nekiut means... He says cleanliness from sin is the way they translate it. So in other words, if you're diligent and you try to do mitzvahs properly, it'll be eventually result that you'll be free of sin. In other words, if I'm so punctilious in serving mitzvot, it'll lead me to nikkiyat. That's a simple shot in it.
It's interpreted as cleanliness of the soul in this one.
Oh, okay. Just wait 1 minute, and then you'll fill in. Okay, 1 minute. Okay, he says, "Zrizut mevi'a lidei nekiut, nekiut mevi'a lidei tara, nekiut like cleanliness of the soul or whatever." He says, "Brings you to the day tara, purity. Tara maybe the kedusha. Tara brings you to kedusha." Now, in terms of tara, he says the Korban Ha'edah says. That even his earlier aveirot will become whitened, in other words, and cleansed. That's what he says for Tara. And Kedusha, he says, Kedusha leva machshava, your heart, your thoughts, everything will be Kedusha. Kedusha may be the Anaba. Kedusha brings you to humility. Anava mivili de yirat chait. Humility brings you to a state of yirat chait, fear of avera. Yirat chait mivili de chasidin, to piety. Chasidin mivili de ruach hakodesh, brings you to ruach hakodesh. Ruach hakodesh mivili de tchina meitim. Ruach hakodesh brings you closer to tchina meitim, to resuscitation of the dead. Tchina meitim mivili de eliyahu zakor letov. And being zocha for that brings you closer to Eliyahu Navi, because Eliyahu Navi will come before Tchina Meitim. Let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause. Now the Gemara brings proofs to all these things. Zrizim evideli nikiyot, dechtiv b'chila mi kaper. Chila, this is with the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur. He'll complete, b'chila mi kaper to Kodesh. He'll complete his avoda in the Kodesh Kadashim. So the b'chila implies like zrizus, like doing with alacrity. He'll complete his task. Mi kaper, and kapara is like nikias. Yeah, Ruth, you need to mute yourself, Ruth. We're hearing you, okay? Please mute yourself. Okay, thank you. Okay. Now, nikias, let me compare. Nikias mi vili tara dechtiv v'chiper la koin b'tahera. It says by a woman who gave birth that he'll complete giving her kapara. I'm sorry, v'chiper la koin b'tahera. The koin will bring her kapara, which is nikias, b'tahera, and then it shall be tahor, pure. Tahara mevila de kedusha. Tahara brings the kedusha. Dechtiv b'tiaro v'kidsho. It says, but again, by the vote of Yom Kippur, he'll purify it and be mekadesh it. So you get tahara, then you get kedusha. Kedusha mevila de anava. Kedusha brings it to humility. Dechtiv ki chua maram nisa shochenad b'kadosh shemo marom b'kadosh eshkon v'yadaka ushva ruach. It says that Hashem is kadosh, but he abides with the person who has anivus, the person who's humble. So he says, when you have kedusha, that leads you to anivus. And then he says, anava maybe the yirat chait. Humility leads you to yirat chait, to fear of avera. Dechtiv, ekev anava yirat Hashem. Like on account of humility is fear of God. Yirat chait. In other words, it makes sense. Like if a person's arrogant, so you know he's like, you know, mistama, like that's the way he feels towards God as well. And if a person's humble, he thinks like he's more easily for him to recognize all the chasdei Hashem, everything God does for him, much less likely to do avera. He says, "Yirat chait mevil de chasidut." Fear of avera brings you to piety. Dechiv. The way he's darshing chesed Hashem, the kindness of Hashem, but he's understanding it like the piety of Hashem is on the people who fear him. Chesed maybe they ruach hakodesh. Piety leads you to ruach hakodesh, God's spirit. He says that you, Hashem, spoke with a vision lechasidecha to those your pious ones. So that's the chesed brings you the day for the piety. Ruach HaKodesh mevila de tchira meitim. Ruach HaKodesh brings you to tchira meitim. Dechtiv v'natati ruchi bachem v'chiyitem. This is, we don't have it this year, but if there would be a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, so then I think this would be the Haftorah. It's the Nechezkel, Chazon HaBikah, the vision of the dry bones. So that's normally the Haftorah for Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. This year we don't have a Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, so I don't think we have the Haftorah. But it says here... It says, "V'natati ruchi b'chem." God says, "I will put my spirit in you." V'chiyitem. Did I skip anything, or I'm good, right? So, and you'll live. So that's ruach hakodesh brings you to tchira meitim. Tchira meitim mivil idei Eliyahu zechor l'tov. Tchira meitim brings you to Eliyahu, or will invariably involve Eliyahu anavi. He says, "Dechtiv hinei ani shlechem Eliyahu anavi l'bnei bo yom Hashem gadol banara." This was the haftorah from this past Shabbat, right? The last pasuk in the haftorah, or the second last pasuk, but then we repeat it. Then I'm going to say Eliyahu anavi before tchias hamesim. So it means that you'll have it that way. Now, Tana b'shem Remeir, Tana b'shem Remeir. He says, one minute. He says, a braisa was taught in the name of Reb Meir. Call me shekavu be'eretz Yisrael. If a person is like, he's a resident, a permanent resident of Eretz Yisrael, umedaber b'lashon kodesh, and speaking lashon kodesh, Hebrew, he says, va'ochel perotah b'tahara, and he eats the produce in a state of tahara. So he says, like, even like the chulin, he observes like the dinim of tahara for his chulin. V'kori kriyat shema b'boker v'erev, and he recites kriyat shema in the morning and the evening. Yehei Mivusar Shaben Olam Abahu. He'll be heralded. He's worthy of the world to come. So he means, he says here in the Korban Aida, one pshat he says is that below din v'yisurim is keli olam haba. He'll be zocha for olam haba without like punishment, without din v'yisurim is one pshat that the Korban Aida says, but it really speaks about the Maya of living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? All right, quiet group tonight. All right, we're going to try to finish off. All right, Hadron Lach Perek Bishlosha Prakim. That's the name of the Perek, Bishlosha Prakim. In other words, it's interesting. The third Perek is Bishlosha Prakim. In other words, Bishlosha Prakim is three times during the year, they're about to withdraw all the money, but the third Perek in Shkalim is Bishlosha Prakim. It's just an easy thing to remember. Okay, now the next Perek. Okay, Halacha Aleph, Manitin, Hatruma Mayo Sinba. What did they do with the Truma? In other words, with the Machsi or the Shekel? What did they do with all the money? So, Lochin Ba Tamidim Musafim, they would purchase the Korban on Tamid, the daily sacrifice, is a, you know, one sheep in the morning, one sheep in the evening, and the Musafim, the Korban on Musaf on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and so forth. He says, Viniskehem, and the libations for it. HaOmer Shtialechem, the Omer, which is something very apropos in our minds these days, which was brought on the second day of Pesach, is a meal offering. They would pay for the needs with the Omer, and Shtialechem as well, which is the offering on Shavuot. But Lechem Apanim, every week in the Beis HaMikdash, they had the showbread, and they would use the money for that. The whole Korbanot HaTzibur, all the Korbanot HaTzibur. So Korbanot HaTzibur, it could mean with the Korbanot on Yantiv, maybe other Korbanot. Let's see what he says here. What does he say with Korbanot HaTzibur? He says, Korban Aida says includes the Ketoret. He says in the special Yom Kippur offerings, he says, okay, but you get the idea. He says, all right. So he says, Shomrei Svichin b'Shviit Notlin Scharan Mitruman Alishka. Now the people now on the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant and to raise growth, but they still need to bring the Omer and the Shtei Lechem in the Shemitah year. So the Omer and the Shtei Lechem have to come from something which is a Hefker. So they would have people who would be guarding it, and so we could pay the people who are going to guard it. We can pay them from the Trumas Halishka, because it's still from the Sarche Korban. The one second. Right. In other words, we want to make sure that there's an adequate supply of grain for the animals from treading on the aftergrowth. Ask any would-be consumer to not take it. It was to kindly ask him, please, not to do it, even though it's Hefker. But you could pay from the Trumas Lishka for people to do that. All right, let's take a look back in the Gemara. Two lines from the bottom. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afarotza Min Adev Shomer Chinam. According to the Tan Rabbi Yossi, if a person wants to volunteer to be a Shomer, he could volunteer to be a Shomer on the grain. So, Amru Lo, the Chamis said to Rabbi Yossi, Afata Omer, She'ein Voin, Elo Mishal Tzibur. In other words, you, Rabbi Yossi, must concede that the Korban has to be from the Tzibur. So we're afraid that if somebody is guarding it, he'll be Zoche for himself with that grain. And even if he gives it over to the Tzibur, it won't be considered from the Tzibur at that point in time. In other words, that's his own that he's offering to the Beis HaMikdash. So they argue that Badafka, we want to pay somebody to guard the grains and the barley. If you look in the Korban Aida, or 1 minute, yeah, the Korban Aida, two lines from the bottom, he says, yeah, so I'll do three lines from the bottom. He says, Shomer Chinam, Ba'afim Kanawatam in a Hefker, Kshishamram Chinam. Even according to Rabbi Yossi, even if he did acquire it, the end of the guard, Savar Rabbi Yossi the Korban Yachid Mishtan the Korban Sibur. He holds that a Korban Yachid can, be transferred to a Korban Sibur. Afatomer b'chuli kolomer iatamoda she'ena banei lo mishal tzibur v'mishomer chinam zachabahen. So the Chumash said, if he zoche with a nimsa she'ena banei mishal tzibur u'shitam heshivu to sabri Korban Yachid ena mishtan l'shal tzibur. So we'll see. It sounds like a machloket whether somebody's private, you know, property can change over to be like a Korban Tzibur. All right, that's all I have for tonight. Wait, let me just do some sheets and then it'll be it. 1 minute. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? All right, let's just take a look. Let me get a sheet. All right. Now, I'll mention some things about the Kiddush, and then we'll see where we go with this. So we said at the beginning of today's daf, we mentioned about the shear for Revius, and I mentioned that there was a stira between the Babli and the Yerushalmi with the thumb measurement. Actually, I told you there's really a double stira. In other words, first, based on the Babli, a Revius is an egg and a half is a Revius. In other words, water displacement, the amount of liquid that would be displaced by an egg and a half is a Revius. And then according to the Babli, the equivalent amount is 2 fingers by 2 fingers by 2.7 fingers. And according to the Yerushalmi, the equivalent amount is 2 fingers by 2 fingers by 1 5/6 fingers. So in practical terms, the dispute between Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish regarding the size of a Revius. According to Reb Chaim Noah, Revius is 86 milliliters, 2.9 fluid ounces, whereas according to the Chazon Ish, it's 150 milliliters, 5.1 fluid ounces. And there are a lot of other opinions with this. Reb Moshe holds, the way I recall, if it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it should be at least 4.42 fluid ounces. So according to Reb Moshe, if you're making Kiddush on Friday night, and according to some, the Havdalah is also d'oraisa, it should be 4.42 fluid ounces. If you're making Kiddush during the day on Shabbos, according to Reb Moshe, it's enough to be 3.3 fluid ounces. Here he quotes that according to Reb Chaim Noah, 2.9 is enough, but according to Chazon Ish, it has to be 5.1 fluid ounces. So, you know, it's not such a chumrah to go like the Chazon Ish, to then be able to say, well, the Shito, to say 5.1 fluid ounces. I think that makes a lot of sense, frankly. All right, now, the Marsham writes, it is permitted to make Kiddush Shabbos morning on liquor using a shot glass. So this gets into the whole issue, like a lot of people, when we used to have Kiddushes, we don't have them anymore, but if you remember, we used to have Kiddushes, so they have hard liquor on a table with small shot glasses, and people like to make Kiddush on the small shot glass. It's very questionable, Pialaka doing that. It's based on a Taz, and the Taz holds that, like, the liquor, like, so strong, like a smaller shear is like the equivalent for a larger shear. Now, the way I remember, the Taz doesn't say you can make Kiddush on a smaller shear. I think he says in terms of a bracha chrona. In other words, let's say I have the small shot glass. I think the Taz says that I'm equivalent to a bracha chrona because the small amount is equivalent to a larger amount, like with somebody else. In other words, I don't know, the alcoholic content is so high or whatever. So based on that, they try to say that they can make Kiddush on this small, with the small shot glass. So even though the glass holds a cheekful rather than a revius, one may be lenient when making Kiddush during the day. Since this is the quantity drunk at one time, it is sufficient. That's the Marsham wants to say this way. The Mishnah Berurah differs. The rules of the cup used for Kiddush must be able to hold a revius, even making Kiddush on liquor. Furthermore, the one making Kiddush should drink a cheekful, which is the majority of revius, is only b'dievet or in a difficult circumstance we permit others to join. Anyway, you get the idea. So
the shot glass would only be hard liquor, or could it be like wine or grape juice?
No. Wine and grape juice is definitely not.
It's only hard liquor.
Only hard liquor, but even the hard liquor is like a stretch. So in other words, like a lot of poskim say, you still need the same shear with hard liquor. So I need a regular cup with hard liquor and to drink Rova Kos, which is very difficult. So I strongly recommend making Kiddush on grape juice. If grape juice there, use the whole shear. But then it gets into the problem. You also preferably should have like a regular cup, not a plastic cup. A lot of poskim say that a plastic cup shouldn't be used for Kiddush because it has to be something, a davar chashuv. So those things are you know, widespread conduct, but not so great up here halacha. All right.
Well, then why does the shul put out hard liquor if it's halachically improper?
I said it's relying on a narrow shita. You'll have to speak to Rabbi Yismach about this. Tell him you learned in Daf Yomi about the questionable halachic status.
I don't drink hard liquor. I'm just curious.
What can I tell you? I will say I think a lot of the Hasidic Rebbeim would make Kiddush on hard liquor. Did they use the smaller shear? I don't remember. Aaron Moshe, did the Hasidic Rebbeim, when they made Kiddush, use a small little shot glass or not?
No.
All right. So according to one opinion, there is one line of argument to say it's good, but I think the better practice is not to do it. All right.
Well, make it enlarged cup. Also, there are plastic fancy cups that look like it's a real, like it looks like a silver cup, but it's a plastic cup.
Yeah, it's the part that's tricky with this.
You know which ones I'm talking about?
I think the caterers have these plastic cups, but they look strong.
They look like a real fancy cup, but it's plastic.
Well, the only thing you see, on the one hand, you throw it out in the garbage afterwards, so that's not so good. On the other hand, like, you could wash it and clean it out. So Rabbi Eider says, Rabbi Eider, I think, has a svar in one of his svarim. He'd say that, like, if you could wash it out, maybe you could judge the plastic cup good. But the key is with Daf Yomi.
He also has a look of cheshivas.
Well, anyway, the point is, in Daf Yomi, you get the issues. Then once you know the issues, you know, they ask questions.
So when Rabbi Lerner used to make Kiddush at the end of davening on Shabbos.
Right.
Would that make everybody yotzei for him, and then
That was the idea. He was making kiddush so everybody would say amen to fulfill their obligation through listening to him.
So then, if you went downstairs and made kiddush again, what would that be?
So, if you had in mind, let me finish the recording, and I'll talk to you in a minute. Okay, just one minute. Let me finish this recording. Okay.